Matthew's, please. Chapter 6, I believe, tonight. Yeah. Chapter 6, the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, it's been a couple weeks, but everybody remembers, don't you? The goads and the nails. You remember the goads and the nails. Chapter 12 is where that verse is found, I think, verse 11. Everybody should remember it now. We're in Ecclesiastes 6. Now, previously in chapter 5, we saw that Solomon here, the author, he has tried all kinds of things in life to find meaning to life. Here he is, in his day, the richest man in the world, I believe. God gave him wisdom, if you remember. He asked for wisdom on how to rule the people. That was a good request at the beginning. And to top it off, God gave him more. Gave him wealth and riches. But he didn't know how to handle that very much. So actually, a good deal of this, the verses we've read have to do with the matter of wealth and wealth not satisfying. Money does not satisfy in life. You can't take it with you, right? And so in chapter 6, it again has to do wealth, about wealth and riches without God. It has a little more than that, too. All right, chapter 6, it's a search for meaning. And Solomon doesn't really find it in wealth, even though he's the wealthiest person in the world at that point in time. And the truth is, as we apply it to today, even those who appear to have grabbed a hold of the good life really struggle with no true enjoyment in life. And you look at sometimes on television and you see these movie stars, famous people, see perhaps athletes who come in. Some of these kids, even getting out of high school, are drafted by baseball teams and are given million-dollar contracts as a 17, 18-year-old. Now, there's some that have a little bit of wisdom or some wisdom, and enough wisdom at least to get someone to help them. Because what 17 or 18-year-old kid knows what to do with several million dollars, all right? But I mean, there's plenty of illustrations out there in our world. We can see people that have been inundated with wealth, but that doesn't mean they have happiness and joy and peace in their life. There's no satisfaction. There's no answers to life's ultimate questions. What happens when we come to the end of the life? Do you take it with you? No, of course not. So anyway, let's go to chapter 6, and we'll try to go through all of chapter 6. The theme for this chapter is sort of, as you read through it, you get this feeling of live and let live, come what may, que sera, sera, whatever will be, just an absence of purpose and meaning to life. And in fact, verse 1 says, there is an evil. The use of that word evil ought to tell you something. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun. That's on this earth, in life. And it is common among men. Indeed, that's true. There is evil in this world because Satan is the prince and the power of the air in this world today. And he sees to it. He has people think that money and riches will satisfy when they don't. And so when you, right at the beginning of this chapter, it's gloomy. That word evil is a strong word. It sort of shows a dark and a brooding situation here for the writer of this book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writing this. There's an evil It's just a dark picture that he paints here, which I have seen under the sun. And under the sun, of course, is referring to human reasoning. It's not the mind of Christ. And that's what we have to have. So he says, and it is common among men. And I agree, it's common. Most people think that the more I have, the happier I'll be. And I mean, starting with young people, get is the name of the game. Work. Get a job where you can make the most money, where you can get the most things, where you can get the most toys in life. But believe me, Solomon tells us very clearly, it's not what satisfies. Now, number two, verse two. A man, and by the way, I think if you read verse two as a self-portrait, Solomon writing about himself, think about it that way. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor. That was true of Solomon. God gave it to him. So that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desired. He had everything. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof. He can't even enjoy it. He's got it all, but he doesn't enjoy it. But a stranger eateth it. This is vanity. And it is an, there's that word again, evil disease. It's a dark picture. He doesn't even get to enjoy it. Warren Wiersbe said this: enjoyment without God is merely entertainment and doesn't satisfy. Enjoyment, on the other hand, here, enjoyment with God is enrichment and brings true joy and satisfaction. And that's what this world does not know. It does not know. So and notice also in verse 2, it ends with this evil disease. And it paints a picture that is gloomy and dark and not pretty at all. Verse 3. If a man beget 100 children, and by the way, he had a lot of children. He had a lot of wives, too. and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that is an untimely birth, that an untimely birth is better than he. And what he's saying there, I'm sorry, I don't know what, I caught my throat tonight, but he's basically saying it'd be better not to be born. It really would. Than to live the way that it's going for him and the way that it's going for people that are living this particular lifestyle. We're looking at verses 3 to 6, because I think in these verses all together, you have a picture of the good life as no better than non-life, not being born. In fact, it can be more painful and frustrating than living a true life for God. It's a miserable existence that he's describing here. In verses 6, 3 through 6. So let's read verse 4. For he cometh in with vanity, emptiness, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than others. And verse 6. Yea, though he live 1,000 years, twice told, or 2,000 years, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? Better again if he were not born. What a picture of darkness. Verses 7 to 9 indicate to us that there's no satisfaction. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. He's not satisfied. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? No satisfaction. He's laboring, but yet he's eating emptiness. And then verse 9, there's a focus on what you have here. Verse 9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Okay? In other words, I think what he's saying here is what you have, focus on it. Verse 9, better is the sight of the eyes. And to me, what I got from this is focus on what God has given you, not on what, boy, I want to get. I want to get this. I want to better this, or better that. As God gives us things, we can rejoice in that. But don't be focused on that. Focus on what he has already given you, what you have right now, verse 9. Verse 10, that which hath been, in verse 10 and through 12, we see that there's no making sense of one short life on earth. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. You see three don'ts in these last three verses. Three don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. In verse 10, it's don't think that you can change your future. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than him. Listen, you can't change God's mind. He knows your future, as we said this morning. He's got it planned out for you. Don't try to change his mind. You won't have any success doing that. So don't think you can change your future in verse 10. Verse 11, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, that is, what is man the better? Here, don't debate with God. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Why debate that? Why try to debate with God and say, this is better, God? You won't get anywhere doing that. And then verse 12, for who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? You notice that vain life. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? And so the last don't is don't try to beat God at his own game. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so, you know, I read through this and reread through this, and most of this is goads, okay? Most of this chapter is goads. But are there any nails in this chapter for us tonight? And I believe I've got one at least for you. Maybe there are more. But go back to verse 3. If a man begat 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good. To me, that was a key right there. If our lives can be for the good of God, we can avoid all of the pitfalls that Solomon here lists for us. And believe me, there are pitfalls. So serve God is what I would have to say is a nail to be found in this passage of Scripture. Let me give you a couple things here before we're through. I don't know if I did this one or not. I kind of forget. Did I tell you about 1959 Barrett Strong recording a song that was popularized by the Beatles? Did I read this before? I had it here, but I don't think I did it. This is a song that the Beatles sang. Remember the Beatles? Okay. I never heard them sing this. But I never heard them sing much. I didn't listen to that. But anyway, here's a song that they had. That's what I want. That's what I want. Yeah, that's what I want. Well, now, give me money. That's what I want. A whole lot of money. That's what I want. Whoa, yeah, I want to be free. That's what I want. Oh, a lot of money. That's what I want. I shouldn't ask you this if anybody heard that. Did anybody hear that? You can sneak your hand up, okay? Apparently it is. It was a song written in 1958 by Barrett Strong, popularized by the Beatles. Well, more recently, Travie McCoy and Bruno Mars. Does anybody know them? You know them, Jillian? Okay. They recorded a song containing these same basic lyrics or thoughts anyway. And I have it here. It's been edited because there's words in there that were not good. And so here's what they sort of changed it. But this gives you, this is the kind of stuff that goes out on the radio. You understand? It's the kind of stuff kids are hearing. It's the kind of stuff teenagers, it's the kind of stuff college-age kids are getting up in here. And here's the words. I want to be a billionaire so blank bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire. That Solomon could have written that, right? That was his lifestyle. It's interesting to note that they're not billionaires. They're millionaires, but not billionaires. But they didn't get what they wanted. I'll tell you what, we'll close with that. I had one more, but I think we'll stop.